As was expressed in Randy's prayer, I believe that we are all thankful that we have the health to be here this evening to gather once again with those of like precious faith. I hope that we feel that this time that we do spend together with those who are fellow Christians to be some of the most precious hours that we have, that we can come together in such assemblies as this, that we can gain strength one from another. Because out in the world we face so many temptations to do those things that are wrong, it does feel good to come together, knowing that we have all things in common, that we have that one purpose of living a life that is pleasing in the sight of God. And I believe that we can gain strength from this time, and hopefully we can gain courage and comfort from the time that we spend together as we do here. For the time that we have together this evening, I'd like to turn your attention to Mark chapter 14, and verses 66 through verse 72. We want to talk about the denial of Peter as he made concerning Christ, and see if we cannot learn some lessons from the things that are recorded there. There are a number of memorable events that we can think of in the life of Jesus. We can think of the wonderful birth when he came into the world and the angels announced that the Savior had been born. We can think of his baptism as the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And as John gave witness of the fact that this was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. We can think of the temptations in Matthew chapter 4 concerning when Christ was physically at his weakest, Satan came to him and tempted him to do those things that were wrong, and yet through the strength that he had, he overcame those temptations. We can think of all the miracles that he performed, but especially perhaps those of Lazarus and raising him from the dead. And we're familiar with all of these events in the life of Christ. Many of those events are connected with the individual that we want to talk about this evening, and that is Peter. We have our first, one of the first introductions to Peter as Christ heals his mother-in-law as she is sick, and he comes to the house and he is able to heal her. We can think of the Mount of Transfiguration, where Peter was there with James and John, and they saw Moses, Elijah, and Christ, and saw the glory of Christ at that time. Or we can also think of Matthew 16, where Christ told to Peter there, he said, "I will build my church," and he said, "Unto you I'll give the keys to the kingdom of heaven." We can think also of the garden, there a few hours before Christ was to die. Peter, James, and John again were with him. We want to read from Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72, and see what we can, in this particular incident, in this event, learn something concerning Peter, the character of Peter, and also the attitude of Peter toward Christ at this particular time in his life. It was a time that his faith was being built, and it was a time also when his faith was going to be tested, perhaps the greatest that it ever was tested in his life. But reading from Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 66, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I know neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' But he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' And a second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he went out and wept." We find this particular event in the life of Peter, that he is denying his Lord. And I believe there are some very valuable lessons that we can learn from this. We can, as we see the circumstances, the disciples there are in the garden before Christ is taken. Peter, James, and John are there, and Christ goes aside, and he prays unto the Father that perhaps if this cup could pass from him, then that would be what he would like. But he says, not my will, but thy will be done. And as he is there with them, the mob comes and they take him. And they take him by force, and most of the disciples, we find, fled at that particular time. They forsook him. But not Peter. We find that he follows afar off along with John. And at first we see that he is willing and able to defend Christ as he draws his sword and he strikes the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But we see that this courage and this faith begins to waver a little bit. And as Christ is taken, then Peter follows afar off. Later, as we just read, he finds himself among the enemies of Christ, among those that have brought him in, and he is warming himself by the fire, and he is charged with being a follower of Christ. Of course, this is something, as we read, he denies. This entire account, I believe, is filled with suggestions for us that we can learn something where we might be more faithful unto God ourselves. And I believe that it is just as important for us today not to deny Christ, but to confess him as it was for Peter in those days that Christ was taken and he was crucified. It is just important that we not deny him. Even though we are not faced with the kind of temptation that Peter was faced with, we must confess Christ. And as Christ himself says, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Peter denied Christ, and there's some things that we can learn from him. And those are the things that we want to talk about for the time that we have together. We can see, I think, and learn from some of the forerunners of the things that led up to the denial of Peter. There are some things that, as we study the character of Peter, that would let us know that this actually might happen to him. And there were signs that if he were heeding, he would not have denied Christ, I am convinced. One of those things that was a forerunner that led to this was the self-confidence that Peter had, the confidence that he had in himself. As he said to God, or as he said to Christ, I will not deny you. Christ told him he was going to do it. He told him that he was going to deny him three times. It was going to be that very night that he was going to deny him. But Peter, he affirmed, I will not do that. There was a self-confidence that was found in Peter. And this self-confidence was a forerunner, I believe, of his denial. There in Matthew chapter 26, in verses 31 through 35, we have this account of what Christ said to Peter. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to them, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. We can see in this account how that Christ warned him that he was going to do that. But of the self-confidence in Peter, he says, this is never going to happen. Even if everybody else stumbles, even if everybody else is offended, if I am the only one left there to defend you, I will not deny you. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 through 33, we read the parallel account there of this particular incident. And it says there, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he, talking about Peter, Peter says, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And then once again, Christ tells him, according to Luke, "I tell you, the rooster will not crow this day before you deny me three times, before you will deny three times that you know me." And again, we can read over in John chapter 13 and verse 37, where Peter says there, "I'll lay down my life for you." And I am convinced as we read this, there is not one hint of insincerity in the statement that Peter is making. I am convinced that he believes every word that he says, that he would be willing to die for Christ. Yet in this self-confidence, we find it being a forerunner of this denial of Christ. No other apostle, perhaps with the exception of John, went as far with Jesus as Peter did. All the rest of them forsook him. Peter and John went on to the trial together. He had enough confidence in himself that he thought he was going to be safe, that nothing would deter this faith, nothing was going to cause this faith that he had in Christ, in Jesus, to waver at all. And I am convinced that this self-confidence that he had caught him off guard. And because of this self-confidence, he perhaps felt that there was no need for him to pray for strength, to ask for strength, because this temptation, he felt, was not going to cause him to fall. He had that much confidence in himself. And as a result of this, again, I am convinced he became an easy victim for Satan because of this confidence that he had in himself. And as we read the narrative there, we notice who frightened Peter. It wasn't Pilate. He wasn't called before the judgment seat of Pilate and asked by Pilate, "Are you one of these men's followers?" It was not by the Roman soldiers that he was approached and said, "You were with Christ." It was not by the Jewish leaders maybe crowding around him and saying, "You were following Jesus of Nazareth." That was not what frightened him. But it was a servant girl who came up to him and asked him a simple question. "Are you a follower?" "You are one that followed this man Jesus." And we see then what frightened him. It was a simple question. Something that he felt he would never deny. This confidence that he had. And I believe, as we can see in Peter, this is a lesson that we need to learn ourselves. And that is not to be overconfident, not to rely upon ourselves and the strength that we think that we have, thinking that whatever temptation might come along, that will not be strong enough to cause me to fall. Satan is very smart. He's very crafty. And as he did with Peter here, he will do with us today also. And if we feel like our own strength is able to carry us through, that a temptation, regardless of how strong it might be, will not present any problems to us, then as Peter, I believe we will become careless and we will fall prey to the very thing that we thought we wouldn't, that we could stand up against. Peter had self-confidence, and it's good to have self-confidence. But it was confidence that he had in himself that he could overcome. Nothing would face him. Nothing would come against him to cause him to deny Jesus. Yet it did. We also find another thing concerning Peter is that it says about him that he followed afar off, or he followed at a distance. In Matthew 26, the account there by the inspired writer Matthew in verse 58 has this to say: "But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end." In John's account, in the 18th chapter, in verses 15 through 18, John, the inspired writer, says concerning that, he says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, 'Are you not one of this man's disciples?' And he said, 'I am not.' The servants and the officers who had made a fire of coal stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself." He followed at a distance. And I'm sure you've heard many stories or many illustrations, many lessons that can be learned from this. But we want to notice the difference between John, and I believe this is the disciple, the other disciple that is talked about here, and that of Peter. In the case of John, we find him going in and being a little closer, a little closer to Christ as he is on trial, as he is able to get in, and then Peter is able also to follow in. But Peter did not, it seemed, go and be near Christ. He stood off at a distance. He followed Christ afar off. It seems like Peter wanted to be close enough to see what was going on, but not close enough to be associated with anything that might come his way that would be bad. He kind of wanted to keep Christ at arm's length. Rather than embracing Christ, rather than holding him close, Peter wanted to keep that far away. Far enough away so that perhaps if something happened that was bad, he would not be associated with that. I am convinced that could he have gone and been by the side of Jesus, perhaps the very sight of Jesus would have given him strength to overcome the temptation. But he stayed afar off. He kept his distance. Again, the lesson for us is quite obvious. And that is, there is a danger in following afar off. Because if we begin to follow Christ afar off and keep him at a distance from us, then we are going to be exposed to the enemies of Christ and to those attacks that are made against him. Following afar off is going to put us in a dilemma. It's going to put us between a rock and a hard place. Because if we follow Christ afar off, one of two things is going to happen. We're going to be put, as Peter was, in a position of either denying Christ. Peter did that. He denied association with his Lord. We're going to be put into that situation. Or we are going to be put on the other horn of the dilemma, in that if we defend him, then we are going to condemn ourselves for not following him closer, for not being closer to him and following his commandments as we ought. If we are going to follow Christ at all, and we should as Christians, the best way to do that is to follow him closely, is to follow him fully. And I am convinced this is the best and this is the easiest way to follow Christ all the way around, in this life and, of course, in the life that is to come. These were things, I believe, that were forerunners of the denial of Peter, that he had this kind of self-confidence, yet he would not follow close enough to Christ to be associated with him. Wanted to keep Christ at arm's length, so to speak. There's something that magnifies this denial of Peter. And I think as we read this, Peter should have been the very last one to deny the Lord. He should have been, of all of the disciples, the very last individual that would deny his Lord Jesus Christ. Because Peter was fully warned by Christ that he was going to deny him. And let it be understood, Peter knew what Christ was talking about. Peter did not misunderstand this. When Christ told him that this night you will deny me three times, Peter understood what Christ was saying. He knew that. And he was fully warned that this was going to happen. Peter had been afforded an opportunity to examine himself, to examine his own heart, and perhaps ask himself the simple question, would I deny Jesus? Under what circumstances, what conditions would I face that might cause me to do this? And I am convinced that had he taken the time to examine himself, he might not have denied Christ. He would have prepared himself for what was coming. But apparently, in his self-confidence, he didn't take what Christ had to say very seriously. There are similar warnings that are given to us. Yet, because of a lack of diligence on our part, we allow ourselves to be overcome by the temptations that come our way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we are told there, wherefore let him who think he standeth take heed lest he fall. We have a warning from God that we need to be watchful. We need to be cautious in our life. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we find Peter giving warning there concerning our adversary, the devil, that he walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. God has given us ample warning that our enemy is like this lion. He has that power and that cunning, and we need to be on our guard. We have ample warning, and we should not then fall prey to the temptations of Satan. Look at the time also of the denial that was made by Peter. And when it was uttered, Jesus was passing through, I am convinced, one of the most trying times of his life, if not the most trying. He had been betrayed by those that had followed him for about a period of 3 years. He had been forsaken by them. He was now being mocked by the Jews and by the Roman soldiers. He was being brought before the judgment seat of Pilate and tried unjustly for things that he had not done. He had been through enough, it seems, already. And yet we find one who was closest to him denying that he ever knew his Lord and Master. We can take a lesson from this today, from Peter and what he did. Because in our society, we find so many who are doing this exact same thing to our Lord and Savior. He is being mocked. He is being ridiculed. There are people who are trying to do the very best that they can to rob him of his deity. We find this on every turn in our life. People who want to deny that he is God. They want to make him just an ordinary man. And this is a time that it seems when all of his followers should be there to defend him the quickest. But yet we find so many of his followers that it is the time that they forsake him the quickest. Many people today who are Christians make the claim, just as Peter did, that they would never betray their Lord. No matter how bad things get, they will never leave God. Yet we find in this self-confidence, they didn't realize how bad things might get, and they have forsaken their Lord. Peter had received, really we might say, special attention from Christ in this. He had received special tokens of the love that Jesus had for him in allowing Peter, along with James and John, to be witnesses of some of the things that others did not see. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration and he saw the glory of Christ. He was there in the Garden of Gethsemane when Christ was praying that this cup would pass from him. He was there when Christ made the promise that he would build his kingdom and his church. And he would give unto Peter the keys to the kingdom. Yet in all of this special attention that Peter got, we find that he still denied his Lord. Some of us who are the followers of Christ today see that there are wonderful things that Christ has done for us. Special tokens of his love as he died on the cross to save us from our sins. And this was something that we cannot do. This is something that is impossible for us to achieve on our own. The forgiveness of our sins. This is what Christ has done for us. Yet so many that follow him will deny him. They will turn away from him, just as Peter did. Although he received, we might say, this special attention, as we receive that attention of God in Christ today, he turned away. He denied. Look also at the manner of the denial. That he did this three times. Once was not enough. Twice was not enough. But he denied his Lord on three different occasions. And on that third time, it says that he swore, "I do not know this man. I do not know the things that you are talking about." This is the manner of the denial. And it seems to magnify this because of the special attention that Christ gave to Peter. He was fully warned that this was something that was going to happen. But rather than examining himself to see if there was a possibility that it could happen, he just kind of dismissed it seems. There are, in all of this, as we've been going along, pointing out some lessons for us. Some things that we can learn from Peter. And as we strive to learn these lessons, to make application in our life. And I believe one of those lessons is simply this. That great prominence doesn't keep an individual from danger. Certainly there was great prominence on the part of Peter in his service unto God, in his service unto Christ. There he was numbered among the 12. That would be the apostles. But within that 12, he was one of those three that was closest to Christ. Was a witness of things that other disciples were not witnesses of. Certainly, he had great prominence in Christ. But that didn't keep him from any danger. We tend to think sometimes because a person has a greatness about them that they are insulated from dangers and from temptations. That they cannot reach that individual. But that is not the case. Because we find that the greater our responsibilities are, the greater our abilities and our talents are, then there is the greater possibility that we can fall, that we can do those things that are wrong. An individual who does more, obviously, is going to have more opportunities to make mistakes. If an individual doesn't do anything at all, they're not going to make any mistakes, are they? But the more you do, the greater prominence, the greater ability you have, then the greater your mistakes might be. And this is something that is seen in the case of Peter. He was not isolated. He was not in such a position that the devil could not get at him. This great prominence, this great place that he had, did not keep him from danger, and it's not going to keep us from danger either. Also, we find, and I believe this really is the greatest lesson of all, is that the greatest danger is not always at the point that we think that we are the strongest, or it is not at the weakest point. Peter was filled with self-confidence. And I believe if you begin to describe Peter, one of the things that would come first in your list of descriptions would be his self-confidence. This was a strong point of Peter. He had confidence in himself. He was sure. First, as we see in him, that he felt that this was something that was his greatest thing, that it was his strongest point. But yet it became a danger to him. We find that he failed in this. This point that he felt was his strongest. And so we can learn this. That we must be on guard in even our strongest areas. All of us, I think, will concede the fact that we have strengths and we have weaknesses. And most of us are very careful. We are very cautious in those areas where we think we are weak. But oftentimes we become careless in those areas that we think are our strengths. Yet we can see by examples in the Old and New Testament that those areas that people thought they were strong in became the very area that temptation came to them and they failed. What is one of the words that you find to describe Abraham? Abraham is described as being the father of the faithful. We are to have the faith of Abraham and be children of God. Yet we find, as we read the narrative of Abraham, this is one of those areas where he was tempted to do what was wrong. As he did not trust in God, his faith failed to him. And he lied to Pharaoh and he lied to Abimelech concerning his wife. He said, "She is my sister." His faith failed him. That area that we think is strongest of Abraham. We think of Moses also, and the Word of God says that he was the meekest of all men. But yet it was in this area of meekness where he did what was wrong. He became angry and filled with wrath, and he did something that God told him not to do. And as a result of it, he was not able to enter into the promised land. In this area of meekness, which the Bible describes him as being the meekest man, that strength became a weakness. We might think to ourselves, "I will never do that. I will never give in to that temptation. I am too strong. That simply cannot happen." And when we begin to make statements such as that, then we're heading for a fall. We're heading to do those things that are wrong. There's another lesson, and that is this, that there is a tendency for sin to repeat itself. Peter did not deny Christ once. He did not do it just twice. But he denied his Lord three times. Again, it doesn't seem that he was satisfied with once. Once he denied him, he didn't remove himself from the situation. He got a little bit away, but he found himself facing the same temptation, and he sinned again. Had he admitted the second time that he was a disciple of Christ, then he would have condemned himself the first time. And so he had to continue adding to that lie, one denial upon another. This is the way that it is with a lie. This is the way that it is with someone who cheats. If they stop doing that, admitting that they are wrong, then they condemn themselves. And so they continue to do that. The pathway of sin is very slippery. Oftentimes it becomes very easy for us to do those things that are wrong. And it's so very hard, though, to recover after we have sinned. We begin almost to pick up momentum in sin, and it becomes easier and easier. And Satan, wherever he has tempted us in our life and been successful, what do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to give up and not tempt us there again? Of course not. As long as Satan can tempt us and find that weakness, he's going to do it again and again and again. And this is what he did with Peter. But we, like Peter, as we sin, do not need to stay down. We do not need to stay, once fallen, lying there and wallowing in sin. If Peter's fall is a warning to us against self-confidence, against those things, for the warnings that God has given us, then the restoration of Peter ought to be a remedy for us also in maybe our despair when we do sin. If Peter could find forgiveness, then we could also find forgiveness in the sight of God, because it doesn't matter how great or how small a sin might be. God is able to forgive him. It says concerning Peter, when he thought thereon, he wept. He thought what he had done. And as the prodigal son, it says he came to himself. This seems to be what Peter did. He thought about what he had done. And in that thinking, he repented. I believe that sometimes the problem that we have today in repentance of the sins that we have committed is that we don't think about them enough. You know, in our society today, we are taught you're supposed to dwell upon those things that are positive. Don't dwell upon your failures. Don't think about those things that are negative. Always think about that which is positive. But Peter thought about something here that he had done that was wrong. And it brought about tears, and it brought about a repentance. And I am convinced we need to think about our sins from time to time. What they have done to us, so that we will not allow them to happen to us again. Now, we don't have to dwell on them so much that we can't do anything. But think about our sins. Bring about a true repentance. And know that with the help that God can provide for us, we will not do that again. Peter was penitent. He knew that he had done wrong. He admitted it. And he came back from this sin and from this despair, perhaps greater than he ever had been that thus far in his life. And I am convinced that this is what the Lord wants us to do. That when we sin, and we will sin, that we don't just lie down and wallow in that sin and say, woe is me. But think about it and realize what has been done for us. The sacrifice that has been made. And that we can be cleansed from the sins that we do commit. But the only way that we can have that cleansing is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe as we dwell on that, we will understand the greatness of God and of Christ, and the great sacrifice that has been made for our redemption. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, you don't have to allow your sins to keep you, to cause you to remain in that situation that you are in, dead, separated from God, which will in the end cause you to be eternally separated from God. There is a way that sin can be removed, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have access to the blood of Christ through obedience unto the commands that have been given. As you allow your faith to cause you to repent of your sins, confess your faith, and to be baptized for the remission of your sins, then you can stand whole and cleansed in the sight of God this evening. You can be His child, enjoying all those spiritual blessings that are offered through Christ. If you're here, subject to the invitation, the song has been selected. We will encourage you by singing that song. Won't you come as we stand and sing?